I'm Arielle.
And I'm Ricky, and together we make the Bravo Critics. This is the place where we discuss pop culture news and all things Bravo.
We'll also have interviews with some really cool people, including some of our favorite Bravo celebrities. So grab a drink and hang with us. Everyone's a critic.
Welcome back to Bravo Critics, guys. It's Ricky and Arielle here. I'm just coming to you with a special little mashup episode. We're going to talk all the newest things that are happening in the Bravo world and everything that we saw happening on this week in Bravo. So lots of good stuff to talk about this week, right, Arielle?
Yes, it's a good chat. We felt that a bonus episode was needed because there's a lot going on. And I mean, we have not talked to you guys since we talk to Dorinda.
Yeah, that was literally like one of the biggest moments in my Bravo life. It was the biggest moment in my Bravo life up to this point.
It definitely was. So like Bravo and T just turned one the other day, and I would have never in my wildest dreams thought that we would be number one, that we would have started this podcast. Like, this is awesome. And then two, that we would have got to talk to not one but two housewives, and one of them being Dorinda, like our all-time fave. So it just doesn't get any better than that.
I know. And I keep on asking myself, like, okay, so what do I do next? Because it feels like Dorinda's like going straight to the top of the pile when, as far as like talking to different housewives, because, you know, I love all housewives, but everyone's going to feel like a little bit lower level after you talk to someone like Dorinda. I mean, come on.
I know, we set the fucking bar high within a few episodes. I mean, we haven't even hit our 10th episode yet, and we interviewed Dorinda. That is amazing to me. It's like, oh my gosh, it was everything I hoped for or more. She was so kind, right? Like,
she's a very kind and warm person, and she's just very funny. And, you know, we had a lot of topics that we wanted to talk about, and maybe there's some things that you guys wish that we would have asked, but, you know, talking to Dorinda, the conversation's just so natural. She is definitely a talker, and you just feel like you're talking to like one of your best friends, and it's hard to, you know, steer back away from some of the topics that she might want to talk about, because you're just so interested in them.
Yeah. So if you guys haven't gone back and listened to that episode, make sure you do, because it was a good one. And we talk Ultimate Girls Trip and her ultimate, you know, legacy lineup. And it was everything that we had dreamed of and more. So definitely go listen to it if you haven't. And yeah.
The only thing I wish is that we would have been able to speak to her after that trailer came out.
Oh, I know, because the trailer was supposed to be coming out like any day. I think it came out, what, the day after we interviewed her?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was like, I was curious, but she hadn't seen it yet either. So I would have had a lot more questions, I think, regarding, or maybe would have dove a little bit deeper in terms of the dynamics had we got to see that. And she maybe would have given us a little bit more, but I mean, it was an epic, epic episode. So.
Well, it makes me wonder if some of her answers would have been different too, because she was sort of playing coy about her relationship with Jill. Mm-hmm. And like, you'd sort of think that like everything's all good, but you see that trailer and I'm not really sure if they're like on good terms at the moment, but I'm really interested to see how it's all going to play out. It looks like the dynamics are top notch.
Yeah. And then she says who she got, you know, like we asked her who she was close with. I was kind of surprised by who she gravitated towards. So it's definitely, it's going to be a great. And so the trailer was fantastic. I mean, we already see Vicky starting. We see Dorinda starting. We see, you know, we see Jill like in tears. Like, it's just a lot.
And so it's funny because I totally expected an exact line that Vicky says in the trailer about like, what do we do here? Because I knew that she would probably have such a big problem, because, you know, she's the queen of whooping it up. I knew that she would have a problem with them going somewhere like Bluestone Manor, because to a girl like that, like Bluestone Manor is super boring.
She wants Turks and Caicos.
Yeah, she wants Andalese.
Andalese, whoop it up.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would have been a fun trip too. Like when they first talked about Girls Trip, I did think that it should have been in where Vicky has her condo, and she should have been hosting the trip essentially, like playing that sort of role and like basically like a Whoop It Up with Vicky All Stars type thing.
That would have actually been really smart.
And then I feel like they could have done that with like different OGs from other series too, and they would host girls on another Girls Trip somewhere else. Like, I think that would have been really cool to see.
I wonder why they didn't do that. They went international on the first one, so it's not like COVID prevented them from going international on the second one. Bravo's mad right now that they didn't think of that idea.
Yeah. I mean, of course, they had the Delta variant that was coming around at the same time as Girls Trip 2 was filming. But we did, you know, we do know that they were supposed to go to a different location before the Berkshires. And then the plan got changed to they're going to be at the Berkshires for 3 or 4 days, then move to another location. But it's like, I wonder where that was.
Yeah, I'm curious. It could be anywhere because there's so many different places you can go that are just a few hour flights from there.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen it, but you know what? I think it's going to be really fun. I always love a good trip to the Berkshires. It's one of the most like gorgeous homes on Bravo.
Oh yeah, Bluestone Manor is a fave of mine. So there is no disappointment in that at all. I'm excited for everything. And Phaedra, we're going to get to see Phaedra. So that's exciting because I feel like we haven't got to see her for a long time. So I love Phaedra. So I'm stoked about that. But
I know June's going to be such an exciting month on Bravo because we're also getting Real Housewives of Dubai.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
At the time of recording this, guys, we still do not have a trailer. Today is just the 15th of May.
Yeah,
and we're still waiting.
Yep. There was a tragedy out, you know, in Dubai. So they put it on, you know, they postponed it for that. So now I'm curious to see how long they will postpone it. Are we going to wait another week or two, or, you know,
I mean, the show starts in like 2 weeks.
They're going to be like, you know what? No preview. Here's the show.
I can't wait. And I'm so glad. Like, so Ariel's been doing a little Ladies of London first time watch.
Yes.
And I was super excited about that because I was like, girl, you've got to get on. You've got to meet Caroline Stanberry. It's a prerequisite to Real Housewives of Dubai.
I honestly, thank God you smacked me around verbally and told me get your life together and get your shit together, because I can't imagine going into Dubai not knowing who Caroline Stanberry was and like knowing just like her persona. And I'm so excited to see how she has changed in the few years since she was on Ladies of London, because we know that she's since divorced and started a podcast, and you know, she obviously decided to stay in Dubai and not come back to London. And so I'm curious to just see almost a then and now, like what, how, it doesn't happen often in like reality TV or even like on a series where like you get a movie on something that you get like a part two from something you love so much. So yeah, I'm very, very happy I jumped on that train, because I was, and I watched it, and like, I watched all three seasons of Ladies in London. I think I watched it in like 3 days, right? 3 or 4 days. It was pretty cool because I started to panic because they were going to take it off of freaking Peacock.
I know. And I don't even understand that decision. They're like, okay, well, Dubai starts in a month, so you can't watch Caroline Stanberry on Ladies of London.
Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh. I started to panic when it said 18 hours left to stream. I was like, oh my God, I have nothing to do. Family, don't ask me to feed you. Don't ask me for anything. I need to focus on Ladies of London. Okay. So I'm obsessed with Juliet. She's my favorite. So I know that she goes to Caroline's wedding, and there's a few of them that go. So maybe the Ladies of London are going to make a little appearance on Dubai. So I'm stoked about that.
Yeah. I remember seeing a lot of pictures from the wedding, because I follow several people. I follow like Luke, her former makeup artist. I follow Sophie, her sister-in-law.
Luke and is friends with Dorinda.
Yeah. So I follow all of them. So I was watching like all of them arriving in Dubai, and like, I mean, just getting like the teasers from Instagram about this wedding, because I'm pretty sure it's going to be like the season finale of this show. It's so opulent and so rich and so cool. I'm so excited about it. I mean, you know, Caroline Stanberry is not just going to have some basic bitch wedding. Like, it's going to be so posh, so over the top.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm so stoked for it. It's going to be stunning. I mean, we just saw a tiny glimpse at the end of Ladies of London of her new crib in Dubai in her closet and everything. It was like, oh gosh, that lady. It was like, oh, I'm jealous of her. Just one day in the life of her. And then her new husband is so hot, right?
He's
He's like
super
a
hot.
soccer player. Like, oh gosh, it doesn't get any better than that. She's living her best life for sure.
Like my thing is, I think he might be the new hottest house husband.
Yeah, Mauricio better watch out because he is a hottie.
I know. I guess as soon as I saw him like starting to show up in Caroline's feed, when they like started hanging out, she started posting pictures. I was like, oh my God, Caroline, get it, girl.
I feel like even Caroline looks like rejuvenated and refreshed. Doesn't she even look like lighter and just like her smile looks different or her eyes or I don't know. She doesn't. She and when I'm seeing her, she's not wearing as much makeup. Like she almost just looks lighter. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like she's like a happier person, maybe outside of like the high pressures of London society or something.
Yeah,
But
like
I don't know,
really
that
happy in her
Dubai
skin.
sun's doing her good.
Yeah, like hey, whatever she's doing, maybe it's all the sex she's having.
Yeah.
Well, you
I
know,
mean,
but.
I think for sure. I mean, I really loved her on the show, but I feel like we're gonna see a pretty different Caroline now. Because
Well,
like
and
you're
I'm.
saying, like it does definitely feel, I mean, she was in a darker place during some of that show too, Ladies of London, because she had her business Gift Library, and we had to watch her deal with like the business failing and going under and having to close up shop. And I think that was a really big hit to her, not because she needs the money, but because that was her business.
Yeah, she took that like a champ. Like she
Yeah.
really is something else. Like, and I'm really like, I love that she's still friends with some of the ladies too, because I think that, so obviously I'm a Midwest girl. I love Juliet. She's from Chicago. So that kind of stuck with me. So I'm happy that she's friends with Juliet, but she's friends with others. Like she's still friends with Caroline Fleming. And so I love to kind of just like, I totally stalked all their Instagram pages after I finished the show to kind of see where everybody was at and what they were doing and stuff. I was super sad to hear that Annabelle passed away.
I know that was really sad. Her and like her story on the show, I always thought she was such a like an interesting person. But she just kind of gave like this like weird, her story just felt so dark.
It was. And then when I read about her, you know, outside of the McQueen stuff, just like learning about, you know, everything she went through when she was younger, it's definitely a tragic story. But we have a lot
So
of new shows coming up, actually. So my list is just going to be never ending because I have, you know, a huge lineup already. And then Bravo just announced their new Bravo lineup for basically the fall and the winter, all the way through the beginning of 2023, which is crazy that we're already talking about the lineup for 2023. But
I know I can't. I mean, I'm really excited about the Real Girlfriends in Paris because I am such like a little Francophile and I love France so much. So I think it's going to be really interesting. I wonder if it's going to be sort of like a reality spin on like Emily in Paris or something like that.
That would be super fun. Yeah, like I'm curious to see, is it going to be like a fashion-based show? Is it going to be like, you know, when the hills, like when Lauren
I
and
was about to
Whitney.
say, is this like going to be like the show that they should have kept on doing when she went to Paris?
Yeah, like that was that I loved those days. That was great reality television. And then what else we've got? Oh, we've got the Southern Charm, the Levaland, which I hate the name. I don't like that they made it a spinoff of Southern Charm. They should have just like made it be its own entity, I think. A rumor on the, you know, word on the street, like Giselle likes to say, word on the street is that they hired a bunch of beautiful actors.
There's a lot of controversy around this show because I mean it's essentially like a Vanderpump Rules type show, right? Based at one of her restaurants. I haven't watched Southern Charm in a couple of years, and I'm actually not even familiar with who this person is, but I've sort of heard about this in the restaurant, and I've heard the same news about this cast and how this show seems like it's going to be very heavily produced.
Well, okay, so I'll say I like Leva. I think she's stunning. She is beautiful. I think the girl can dress like no other. She's a mom. She's a wife. She's a businesswoman. She runs the whole nightlife like restaurant. So she is like a younger version of Lisa Vanderpump, but on a much smaller scale. I mean, you know, LVP, I may, you know, not be the biggest fan of LVP, but she is a businesswoman. She is a restaurateur. She has been taking over, you know, Europe for many years before she came and dominated LA. And now she's taking over Las Vegas. Like, so I will say LVP is on a completely different level than Leva, but Leva definitely has the credentials. So I do see why Bravo saw the opportunity and they're like, let me jump on this. Whoever came up with the fucking name needs to be fired. I hate it. And it's like, if you're going to give me more Southern, first of all, Levaland, that just sounds like lame. Leva is more sophisticated. And more,
I mean, if anything, like, couldn't they have just named it Levaland without the Southern charm in front of it?
Like, yeah.
I still don't love the name either way, but
yeah.
And then I don't know why Southern charm has to be there. Cause it's not like it was Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Sir Rules or something like
correct.
That.
Correct. And it's like, I want Southern charm Savannah or Southern charm New Orleans. If you're going to give me another Southern charm, bring us back the stuff that we loved. Like, but I'm open to it. I will watch it. And, you know, we'll see. I don't love Ariana and Katie's name, something about her for their new cafe, but you know, we're gonna roll with that. I will still go eat there and have brunch there when they open. So, but yeah, we'll see. And then, so those two are supposed to be in the fall of 2022, the Real Girlfriends in Paris and the Southern Charm. So.
Yeah, I'm excited for the Below Deck adventure. I've heard it's a lot different than other Below Decks and that the crew is a lot more interactive with the guests, not just about the working structure of the boat. Like, I read some sort of little blind about it and it suggested that, you know, the crew is basically going upon these different adventures with the guests, like skiing and doing all sorts of stuff like that. And like, there was a little line, I'm not, you know, this is again, just something I read that was a blind and it said that the crew is actually encouraged to hook up with the guests.
Oh shit. Here we go. See, okay.
And this is all going to be in like a background of like Scandinavia.
That's actually, so I was wondering if it was going to be more of a MTV challenge type of ordeal, but it makes more sense what you're saying to have them interacting with the guests and having them kind of just have the adventures with them. So while they're working for them still, we get that Below Deck aspect, but they're basically,
there's a like, rumor that Heather Gay is one of the charter guests.
No shit. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause allegedly, and
I love a crossover. You know,
so when Tamara Judge did an AMA one day and they asked her if she was going to be on the show, because that was a rumor too. And she said that casting really wanted her, but she ended up being busy with something else, which maybe was Girls Trip. I don't know. But Tamara was going to be a potential charter guest. So I don't know why they switched from Tamara to Heather, because I don't see them on the same caliber at all, but.
Yeah, no, not at all. But I guess it makes more sense almost for Heather. She's like Tamara, an interactive housewife. Like she's not like a Meredith Marks or that would sit there. You know, you've got like the ones who are going to get out there and dance, the Jen Shaws, the Heather Gays, the Tamaras, the Vicky, you know, so that makes sense that I can see in that sense why they would pick Heather if that was because she'll. And she's always looking for her man.
Yeah. Maybe she'll find him working on that crew.
Yeah.
But also like Love Without Borders is another show that they're adding, which to me sounds like the name of like a show that's on like TLC.
Yeah. That's like
a 90 Day Fiance sort of show.
Yeah, for sure. Or a Love After Lockup type vibe. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. So I think that it's definitely a great move if that's what they're doing. And I'm not surprised if that's what it is. So I think that's probably, I like those shows. They're so, so just sad though.
They're just so random sometimes too.
But it's like the car accidents you can't look away from. You're just like, oh my God, this is so wrong. I can't stop looking at you.
But like seeing the title, that makes me feel like obviously Bravo knows that whatever TLC is doing is working, because like with shows like 90 Day Fiance, there's like literally 500 different spinoffs.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And they can just cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching all the way to the bank. So what else? So that's okay. So the Love Without Borders and the Below Deck Adventures, those are also in the fall, that, right? Those are coming out in the fall. So then there's the Escape and SWV show that they're supposed to be coming out with in the winter. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I don't really know either.
And I don't get me wrong, I was a huge Escape fan and an even bigger SWV fan. I still know the dance moves that I had for the dance, you know, when I was 13. Like I was that invested. It's that embedded into my soul. I just don't know that I necessarily want to watch an entire series based on Escape and SWV. It's not like SWV had a Beyonce of the group or anything. So I think they're more of just like an ensemble. I wonder if it's going to be like them touring together and them like behind the scenes, like SWV opening for Escape.
Well, that's what I was wondering too, because I was like, well, what's the association with the two of them?
Yeah, because they were out at the same time. So it's not like Candy was writing for them, I don't think. It's not like Candy was their producer. So where do they link up? They were colleagues almost, you know what I mean? So yeah, maybe that's what, but then the thing is like Candy's not going on tour with Escape, I didn't think. So is this a show that Candy's producing? Is she not going to even really be in it that much? Is she just popping in? Like Candy's taking over the game. She's like the new LVP for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy because it's like Candy has had more spinoffs than I think any other housewife.
More than Bethany for sure.
Yeah, because yeah. I mean, she's had her own marriage special. She's had an Escape special before. She had that Candy Coated Nights show for a while.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
That was like an after Bravo sort of thing. So that was a thing too. I feel like I'm forgetting a couple others too, but like she's had, I mean, she obviously has Candy in the Gang, which just wrapped up, but yep. I mean, she fucking hustles harder than like any other bitch. Like, I don't know how she does it. I mean, Don Juan, I think, is part of the answer to that, because like Don Juan is also like a powerhouse.
Yeah, they are the tag team duo for real. And he's been her ride or die for so many years. And then her and Todd, they're just like the power couple. So I love that. And they're definitely, and I think that they're a good balance for each other business wise too. So maybe I'm curious to see, is Don Juan and Todd going to be in this? Like where's Mama Joyce making an appearance? Like what's going on? I need more information on the SWV and Escape thing. So we'll see how that one lands. And then, okay. So the last one they announced is something that I'm a little bit excited about, because I'm corny as can be. And if it's what I think it is, it's called Life is a Ballroom. So if it's like Dancing with the Stars, I'm stoked.
Do you think that might be what it's like?
What if it's with like Bravo celebrities though? Or like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I'm surprised that Bravo, I guess that's where Bravo is unique, because they don't try to copy too many different ideas from different networks. But it feels like they could. This could be their Dancing with the Stars. Mm-hmm. Love Without Borders is their 90 Day Fiance, you know?
Why it's not? Like, everybody else is copying the Housewives.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think it's going to be an interesting show. I'm sort of sad that Life is a Ballroom is the name of the show, because I feel like now we're never going to get like a Luann special that's like Life is a Cabaret.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, there were those rumors for a while that she's getting a show with E. So I'll be interested to see if that actually happens.
Yeah, I heard about that. But if that's the case, then that would mean that she's not going to be on the Legacy Roni, which would make me sad. So I feel like I want her on the Legacy Roni over a cabaret show on E any day. But, you know, we'll have to see.
She's just such a staple character on Roni.
She is. And then Andy just recently made, Andy Cohen, we just, you know, Andy, he just made a comment saying like, Luann, Teresa, there's like certain housewives that he looks at like as actual colleagues and friends, like because they've been in it since day one, Vicky with him, you know? So, oh, you know what else? Okay. So this is not a new show coming up, but just the other day, maybe 2 days ago, 3 days ago, Lisa Vanderpump confirmed that VPR is being renewed and it's coming back. So in what format? Who knows how that's going to kind of land?
I'm surprised that show isn't getting a similar treatment to Roni.
Well,
like basically being broken into two shows where the restaurant show keeps happening, but it's like an entirely new crew. But then we get a show with all the legacy characters, which I know there have been the rumors about Vanderpump Valley.
Yeah.
Which, you know, BravoCon will be this fall. So we'll see. It could very well be something that's announced at BravoCon.
I don't think they can do it now. I mean, maybe. I mean, that would be Ariana, Tom Sandoval, Schwartz, Katie, Lala, and, you know, that's it, right? Sheena and Brock, those are the only OGs. They could keep James Kennedy on the new side with the young folks, but that probably wouldn't work with him and his recovery, you know? So I would say if they're going to take Vanderpump Valley, can they alone carry the show? I mean, unless like, I don't think so. We don't have Kristen. We don't have Stassi. We don't have, you know, that's what we want. We want them as a unit.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I stopped watching Vanderpump Rules I had already decided I was going to stop watching it because the season, even before Stassi and Kristen, all of them got fired, I thought was one of the most boring seasons ever. They brought in way too many new people at once who no one liked. Both of the guys were total like douchebags, and like they obviously got fired because they were all like, Vanderpump became very problematic too, because like you had those two making racist comments, you have the shit going on with Kristen and Stassi. And I mean, Jax probably should have been fired for just being a problematic person in general, but
years before that. Yeah. I agree. Yeah, I think that maybe it's time for them to just bow out gracefully, because the people who were watching it and who loved it for what it was in the early years, we're not getting from it what we want anymore or what we need. And there's so many other shows that we could watch. I just feel like we're like, I'm a person, I become invested for the most part. It's like, I feel a loyalty to see it through, but you know, we'll see. I think they just announced that it's being, you know, renewed. So I'm sure we'll hear more as time goes on, before we talk about the shows this week, what about BravoCon? Bravo Critics is going to take over BravoCon 2022. So be ready, people.
We're hoping to do some live interviews. You know, we're going to be hitting up all the hot spots. We're going to Sonia's townhouse. We're going to go to the Regency and see if Tom's there. We're going to go to Cipriani, have a nice lunch downtown.
I'm so excited. So be aware that we are going to be on the streets and on the prowl.
I'm just wondering like what kind of big announcements they're going to have at BravoCon this year, because in the very first one in 2019, that's when they announced that Real Housewives of Salt Lake City was going to be a thing. So I'm wondering, are we going to get an introduction of our Roni legacy cast? Are we going to get an introduction to the new Roni cast even?
Ooh, that would be exciting. Oh, I didn't even think about that. That would be amazing. That would be smart. Why don't we work for Bravo?
I know. In case you're out there, Bravo, we're available.
We're available. You know, rumor is that it's at, well, I guess it's not a rumor. They confirmed that it's at the Javits Center in New York City. So I don't know when tickets are going to go on sale, but.
I know. I'm just anxiously awaiting.
I know. Me too. I'm like, it's happening. So I can't wait for that. That'll be exciting.
I will be in New York City sneaking in through a window if I have to get in there.
It's all happening, like Sheena would say, it's all happening.
Yeah, exactly.
But I feel like we also had some good shows this week too. Do you want to rehash some of this week's episodes?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, so we've got some premieres, we've got some shows that ended. Candy and the Gang, that ended. I've really enjoyed going on the journey with Candy and the Gang. I think it was a fresh show that the network needed. you know, we had our interview with Brian, that he's such like a fun person. And so we had this, the second episode of Atlanta this week, which I really enjoyed. I'm really glad that Marlo's got her peach. Now I'm really enjoying learning more about Marlo. You know, as a Francophile, I am completely offended by La Archive though, because that is definitely not how it should be spelled. And it was pointed out in the episode too.
That's funny.
So every time I see it, it drives me crazy, but I'm loving Marlo. I'm loving her journey as a Muntie.
Yeah. Did you see all her typos on her website too?
Yeah.
Like it's a lot, but yeah, no, I agree. Marlo has earned her peach. She deserves that peach. She has been deserving that peach, and she is not going to disappoint us while she has that peach. That I know.
For she sure. has to be the longest running friend of.
Oh, probably. And the best. I mean, she definitely holds a torch, and it's going to be interesting because her and Candy go at each other this season, and they don't, I mean, they come out on the other side, but they did have quite the issue this season. And apparently at one point Candy did not think they were going to come back from that. So
wow.
She did say that she, you know, but I'm excited to see everything play out. Sheree's back. And
I'm always here for Sheree. And it's like, this week's episode was so good because we had a full circle moment of Kenny getting to see the completely finished basement.
Oh yeah.
So that was really nice.
That was so good. What's down here? She was like, did you see how high those ceilings are? And we're in the basement. I'm like, yeah, see, I love that she could at least give props where they're due. But Sheree's like, let me go show you this basement. You remember this place? Like, I was like, yeah. Oh my God, that spot. I mean, but then like Apollo's going to be in this season. She has him walking in the fashion show. That's going to be fucking crazy. Like what?
I can't.
I know. It's like, what is happening?
But then, so like this week, I feel like we got introduced to our first villain of the season. We got to see Ralph be a complete fucking cunt.
Ugh, I hate him.
He's so awful. Like, I don't know if he is playing it up for television, but I cannot understand how Drew can deal with that.
I feel so bad for Drew. She deserves so much better. She is so beautiful, so kind, so about it. Like, she is just like talented. Like, I can't tell you, I have not enjoyed a new housewife so much as much as I did last season with Drew. She was a great, great addition, and she like really holds her own. And I feel just like sad watching her. And I want to also say, like, girl.
Well, you hate it because, I mean, seeing someone in a relationship like that, like, you instantly think, like, girl, he's clowning you.
Yeah.
Like, don't you feel like such a clown? And it's like, I guess maybe, like, this is possibly why some of these reality TV couples break up. Like, maybe you don't always realize what the behavior in your marriage is like until you're watching it on television.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. I'm curious to see what her thoughts are going to be once she sees, one, what everybody around her is saying about her and in their confessionals, and then two, what she sees him saying, and then three, how she's seeing it play out, everything that all the conversations that they've had, you know. So I hope it's going to be a happy ending for her, but time will tell.
Yeah. I mean, I just sort of loved the moment, like, when the producers essentially more like, do you know what gaslighting means? And like, they finally gave her a word for what she's been experiencing in her marriage, like the light bulb going off in her head.
Yes. I was just going to say that, the light bulb, because that's exactly what it was. She's like, well, oh shit. Okay. That's what that
is. I feel like the word gaslighting should be like a word that is like in some sort of manual they give you when you sign up to do like a reality television show.
It's so funny. My husband hates that word. He's like, why does everybody use that word? I'm like, it really has taken on a life of its own lately.
Yeah, I know.
But sometimes there is a time and place. Like, the housewives always like to say, time and place for everything. There is a time and place for everything. And housewives is the general arena for gaslighting. So yeah. It's definitely fitting.
But okay. I was wondering, do you think that people are missing Portia this season? Are you missing Portia?
I have yet to determine that. I feel like my relationship with Portia took a turn. I was always like a Portia fan, loved her, rooted for her. And then once the whole something with the whole Simon Fallon situation gave me a bad taste in my mouth, I don't necessarily know what it is, nor do I care enough about it to really like even give much thought to what it is that I'm not feeling. But whatever.
I mean, it's fucking weird.
Yeah. I'm just like, I'm not feeling it. I'm not really feeling her. I don't think I miss her. We'll see, because there's enough of them and those women bring it. Atlanta has never been like one to like have a certain housewife like carry the show. Those women can fucking all bring it at different times, different, you know. So I actually, you know what
I mean? They have Kenya, Sheree, and Marlo. There's not going to be a shortage of anything good.
I missed Cynthia already in the first two episodes. I feel like Cynthia brought a little bit of that home, cozy warmth, you know, like I feel like
trying to like balance things. Like yeah. She was like always trying to like level people out a little bit. Like, okay, yeah. Now let's bring it down, child.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That's something like Cynthia would always say.
Well, Melissa Gorga always said something one time and it like stuck with me since then, where she was like, it's not as easy to be the nice, sweet housewife as some of you like think. It's so easy to just fucking sit here and be like, it's hard to not say half the shit I fucking want to say. Every, you guys just say and do whatever the fuck you want to do. You're just reckless. Somebody has to be like, so I kind of feel like that's kind of that like situation. Cynthia was really like, you really, we only saw her show her ass once or twice when like her and Portia went at it on the boat and stuff. But like, I feel like Cynthia was like that grounded, you know, housewife. So I'm missing Cynthia a little bit, but I think it's going to be a really good season. And you know, we'll see how things play out. Okay, so what else did we have? We had the sailing yacht, right?
Yeah, you don't even watch Sailing Yacht, and I really need you to start watching it, because Sailing Yacht really takes Below Deck to like a whole different level. I didn't watch season one. I started with season two, and there's a good amount of the cast that's back. Daisy, Gary, Colin, same captain. It's funny because like Gary's like one of those like guys that's like a total fuck boy, but I feel like he's changed a little bit this season. I'm enjoying him a lot more, but it's been a really good season. I mean, we finally just now got a new deckhand this episode because the last one got fired for his incident that caused the boat to run aground. And like, they're telling the new deckhand about that. And he's like, well, how's the keel? I'm like, oh, it's okay.
Oh my God.
But like, it's just like, I feel like they have had so many crazy incidents happen with that boat on Sailing Yacht. Cause last season they like backed into a pier and like wrecked the fucking boat.
Oh my God. Oh, it's like, I wonder, do they have like, okay, you guys have this much, this is your budget for fucking shit up. Cause we guys know these guys are a fucking bunch of assholes who are hungover.
What will the insurance cover?
Yeah, exactly. But
this episode this week was just a pretty good episode. I mean, we just lost a stew. So Gabby quit at the end of last episode. And so we're down a stew and we get extra demanding guests, which is how it always happens on Below Deck. They never go down to like two stews
never from
firing or quitting. And it has like a smooth next charter.
Yeah, that never
like fails. It's always the worst guess that you could imagine.
Yeah, that's funny.
Really good. I mean, you need I'll to get it watching to it.
Yeah, I'll add it to the list. Add it to the list.
Yeah.
Well, we're losing a few shows though. Like as summer coming in, we're losing. Like Candy and the Gang just ended. Summer House only has the one more episode. So while we lost Candy and the Gang, we kind of gained Atlanta. We're losing Summer House, but Sailing Yacht is still going. And you know, we have
one more part of Real Housewives of New Jersey.
And then, yes. And then before we get off the Sailing Yacht, isn't the Australia Below Deck still got a couple more episodes too?
Yeah. I'm actually one episode behind, but it definitely still has a few more episodes to go.
I got to get 100%. Caught up on that. I'm not being the best Bravo podcaster right now, guys, because I'm behind on that. So I need to get caught up on that too. But yeah, you're right. We have one more episode of Jersey. Jersey was a great season for me. I loved it.
It was so short though. I mean, 13 episodes. That it's so weird how they do that. Like so abrupt to end with them on vacation. Like I'm surprised that the season didn't, I mean, I know that Teresa was going on the trip where she eventually got engaged. I'm surprised that there wasn't any sort of like footage from that because Bravo's done that kind of thing before where they like stitch in footage that's like 2 months later, like Teresa home video, and it's like them getting engaged. But well, I'm surprised there was no like party after they got back from Nashville. Like maybe Teresa has like a housewarming party at her new house. I mean, maybe she was just feeling too isolated from the cast after Nashville that they were like, all right, we just got to get this shit wrapped up.
Yeah. Or there could have been another surge with COVID and maybe that's when shit production went down for a little bit. You never know. Cause they were out in Nashville and then maybe that's when I'm trying to think or maybe she'll get her own special. Cause when they did the reunion though, Andy did just say like, oh, congratulations are in order. You know, you got engaged after filming and they just mentioned it for a brief second, but I thought it was a good season. I mean, we had a lot of revelations, the whole affair with Jennifer and Bill, and then them thinking Margaret kind of threw everything on them. So I'm curious to see how this reunion plays out this last portion.
Me too. I just did a quick Google and Teresa, the news about Teresa being engaged broke on the 21st of October. So it's hard to say. I mean, I guess if that was about a month after they wrapped, then Omicron or Delta was probably going pretty strong during that too.
Yeah. Cause I remember folks were nervous about the holidays again, you know? So, but yeah, I think that,
you know, I thought that the most recent one was pretty good. I know that a lot of people have a lot of opinions on Teresa, but let me just say that like her getting up and doing the mirror mirror on the wall
is what makes her television gold.
That's what makes her a housewife.
Yeah. So I will say, this is another area, everybody listening, where Ricky and I do not agree. And it's actually one of our biggest disagree. Like, what would we say? Like not disagreements, but this is one of the
biggest differences in opinions.
Yes. Because he is like a Teresa stan and I am not.
I'm a tree hugger. I'm chained to the tree. Wow. That tree, I'm going down when that tree goes down.
I'm going to fucking cut that tree down. So I'm burning that bitch. But I mean, so I did, I watched it live. I don't normally watch stuff live. So anybody who's listening, like you get all your good shit, I feel like for me on my stories, I'm not like super big on the grid, I feel like all the time. So I watched it actually live and I'm like, ugh, so like annoyed with Teresa and Ricky's disagreeing with everything I'm thinking. And then she stands up and turns around and does the mirror mirror on the wall. And I am like, you guys, no matter what I think about Teresa, this is what makes her fucking TV gold. Like this is why she's here. And why I'm laughing and loving this moment. So why I'm like disgusted by her in one second, the next I love her. So she's good. She's great.
It's just beyond hilarious that she would do something like that.
And like everybody's face, they just fucking looked at her like, what is this like real life?
And I love it because it's like, she means it.
I know.
Like she's not like, it's not a joke to her. Like we can laugh about it all day, but like she was being 100% serious, which makes it even funnier.
Which is what makes it so good. It would not be that good if we did not. She believes the bullshit that she spews, which is like half. Don't even get
listen. I know, right? Well, okay, I mean, also, listen, one of the reasons why I can just always be a tree hugger is, I mean, Jersey was one of the first housewives that I started watching from like its preview through the entire series as it was airing. Cause like with like OC, I caught little bits and pieces. New York, it was like season two when I started watching it. I didn't see season one until like a couple of years later when it finally like re-aired. But I don't know. There's something really warming about like growing up with like Teresa has changed a lot through throughout the seasons. And I think that we definitely saw a lot happen with like her going to prison.
Yeah.
Having to go through a divorce. Like she definitely had to eat crow. And I think that, you know, one of the things about Jersey is I always hear people say like, well, we always only talk about like Teresa's problems, which must mean that she has nothing in her contract saying that topics are off topic, because, you know, there's apparently a lot of stuff out there about like Melissa and Joey, like Melissa selling fake designer handbags and stuff in her in her store. Joey apparently was accused of like sexual assault at some point. Like none of that stuff has ever come out, but it makes me wonder if that's why Melissa tries to just like pretend like everything's like really good. So it's like, well, as long as I'm not the one starting something, then I'm not going to be the one that is getting my shit told. Well, but okay. I mean, those women wouldn't have that much. I mean, that's the thing. Teresa's honestly protecting those other women, because if Teresa wasn't living the way that she is and like dating the guy she is, who would they be attacking? And Jen's like, yeah, my husband had an affair. Like, let's move on.
Well, I mean, if Melissa and Joe weren't on the show, who would Teresa be attacking for all these years? So it's a circle.
Probably still Marge.
You know,
I think that Teresa can more easily find an enemy on the show than Melissa can find a storyline.
Yeah, but would we have been as heavily invested in any of it had it just been some random people that Teresa was just opening aim and fire on? It made it good because it was family. That's the heart of Jersey, you know? So,
yeah.
But also, let me tell you this. So I was just a guest on a podcast with Bravo and Blaze the other day, and we touched base on Jersey briefly. And we actually, something that I forgot to mention to you, but I know you and I have discussed briefly that I have not watched all of New Jersey, especially from the beginning. I think I may have seen probably all of it at some point, but just not from start to finish. And I was thinking, you know, maybe
Jersey rewatch coming your way in 2023.
Yeah. Yes, I'm thinking maybe that's going to be Bravo Critics 2023. So you guys drop us a line if there's something you want us to maybe rewatch. But that was what I was thinking. So, but okay. So wait, what else did we have? We had Beverly. Okay, hold on. Before we sign off on Jersey, I'm very curious to see how the third part of the reunion is going to go. The husbands are going to join us in more depth because we only had Joe initially. We're going to get Louie and you know, Bill, and everybody's coming. So, you know, Frank.
I think Jen is so far my VIP or my MVP. She's my MVP for the reunion so far. And like, it literally does not get funnier than her calling Joe Gorga a bitch boy.
I was so fucking pissed at Teresa when she did say you are being a bitch boy. I'm like, come on. Teresa really disappointed me this reunion. She's probably like, I mean, she has since made comments like, that was just not my finest moment. Like, I'm sorry, I was wrong. But
yeah, I mean, I it's going to be interesting. They're going to bring out the husbands and, you know, we're going to wrap up this reunion. We have one more part of the reunion for New Jersey part 3. And then we're going to put a nice little bow on it. And, you know, they'll be back before long. It was a really short season. I mean, with the reunion, it ended up being like 16 episodes. But, you know, I guess it's okay if we're about to get Beverly Hills. You know what? Like, it's okay if New Jersey is shorter, if we're getting Beverly Hills.
For sure. I feel like Beverly Hills wasn't even off of our screens for too long. And so I needed a break from Beverly Hills. It was a lot. But now I'm so glad it's back, and they really opened with a banger this week. And it was, I mean, I cried. It was a very intense episode. I mean, they started right off the bat with Dorit.
Yeah, I agree. Last season I did have some fatigue, which is like also how I was like feeling about like Salt Lake City. It felt like it was a long season, and like I personally, I'm just ready for Erica to go. Like, I don't need the storyline about her lawsuits and stuff anymore. Like, I'm glad that bitches are still calling her out for it. And that's what I'm here to see, but I'm just done talking about it. Like, I wish that they would just like cut ties with her. I mean, she was such like a bitch to the producers just in that episode when they're like, well, is it dismissed? Because from what I've seen since that episode, it's not like she's not actually really in the free and clear and like pronounced innocent by any means.
Yeah, I haven't even too much investigated into where she kind of landed and where she stands now. I don't necessarily disagree with you. I'm curious to see how the season plays out, but I think that she's going to be pretty fucked up this season, drinking heavily.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's going to get ate up by these other girls, because I think part of the reason is going to be because she's under the influence of different things. So I think that's going to put her off of her like quick wits. And I mean, the thing about Erica is Erica doesn't really have any like think about like Erica Jane quotes. Do you have any that aren't like part of her songs?
No.
She's not that iconic of a housewife. She's not known for good replies. She basically, all her replies are is just biting someone's head off and like, don't fucking do that. Don't you ever say that again.
Yeah, you're right. That's true.
She did that shit to Dorit with like the panties. She did that to
Eileen.
Eileen with the talking about the sun. She did that, you know, with Garcelle when she brought up the still talking to Tom last season.
Did the Sutton. Yep, she's done it.
I'm sorry, Bravo critics out there, if you're an Erica Jane stan, but I'm just really not. I don't think she's that iconic. She definitely brought some stuff to the show, but it's like, she's just a bitch at the end of the day.
Yeah, I didn't like the way that she was talking to the producers. I think that this season might be her last. I mean, if she was smart, it probably, well, she needs the money. So, you know, there's that. But I really, my heart went out to Dorit, and I was just shocked by Sutton's reaction, you know, saying, oh, well, I had a really rough day too. I was putting out fires, you know, I didn't have a gun held to my head. And Kyle just looking at her in complete disbelief, like, what is actually going on? So I thought that entire situation was just very odd. The whole thing was just odd.
Yeah, it was very weird. And
poor Dorit.
I feel so bad for her. I mean, literally one of my biggest like fears and nightmares, especially because I watch so much true crime. And it's like, this is always like causing me to have these nightmares, is like home invasion.
Yeah, no, it's scary. And to think that she was home alone with her children, I believe had PK been home, that things may not have had such a favorable outcome, and somebody would have probably ended up getting hurt. The fact that she had, you know, Phoenix in her bed with her, and she was just so exhausted and moved her daughter out of the bedroom. Had Phoenix been in her bed, I mean, that would have just, oh gosh, that could have just gone so, so badly. So, I mean, I thought it was crazy that he left her cell phone for her at the gate. You know, I would have never thought to ask for my cell phone. It's just, the entire situation was crazy. The fact that they just started filming the day that the robbery happened. What are the chances? And I'm going to say it again. Don't at me. I don't want to hear it. If you want to say that you think that it's fake, that it was, I don't want to hear it. Keep it to yourself, because
that's sort of the big debate right now.
There is video footage of these men. It blows my mind. And for anybody, you should be ashamed of yourself. Show a little grace.
And literally, I feel like if the situation was somehow faked, you know, like if it was a setup,
we would have figured it out.
I don't think Dorit was in on it. If it was like, you know, I'm not, this is all just saying alleged. I'm not saying that this is how it even happened, but if there was some sort of setup, I don't think Dorit knew, because Dorit was not herself.
I was so heartbroken for that woman when she was sitting on that bench at the very end of the episode, when PK was searching for his phone, the shriek in her voice, the despair, the way she latched onto her husband when he walked through that door. I mean, people are giving her grief because she wasn't with her children. She's like, I've been with my children all day.
I just feel like a lot of those people maybe either aren't parents or they just don't even realize how like her kids didn't know about it. So she was trying to keep it from them. And like, but I can definitely see why she left the house. And like, everyone's talking about leaving the kids, but like, yeah. I can see why, because it's like, she was trying to hold us together in front of her kids. And like her leaving the house is like the first time that she's able to like break down about what happened.
Yeah. I guess that, you know, signing a contract is a bitch.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're bound. I mean, I guess she could have been, they probably would have been lenient with her, but I'm curious.
I feel like I would have been like, I'll talk about it tomorrow, not today. Like today's the day it happened. Like it's way too fresh. Like,
because the girls were there with her earlier that day. So they already,
already heard this.
So maybe they had their meeting and she decided this is coming out. TMZ's already putting their story out. Like maybe the girls had some logic talk with her and said, we'll guide you through this. Like, let us do this for you. Maybe they did that and said like, you know, maybe that's what it was. Cause you know, I think when you're in a situation like that, you either tell the story or somebody else is going to tell it for you, you know, but yeah, that was a great episode. I'm so, so heartbroken for her, but I'm going to really enjoy seeing how everything plays out in terms of just the dynamics with the women, her and, you know, Dorit finding out about the way Sutton reacted. Cause it sounds like Sutton fessed up to it before Dorit was to see it on television. So yeah, the Garcelle, it looks like Garcelle is going to have some.
And you know, I know that like Sutton's reaction has been a little polarizing too, but I don't know. I think, well, first of all, I don't think that Sutton maybe completely understood the severity of it, but
I don't know how she could.
I think she literally walked in, saw Kyle crying. She's like, no, this isn't what this scene's going to be about, girl. Like, this is my first scene in the season. So, I mean, she was already with Garcelle, but you know what I mean? Like, she knew this was going to be like an earlier scene. She's like, we're not making it about Dorit's sister.
Oh my God, that makes me hate her even more. If that's what, no, I don't hate Sutton.
Because obviously I don't think that Sutton and Dorit, I didn't realize maybe that they were on such bad terms though.
I don't think they are. I just think
it just seems weird that like, I don't know. Sutton, it felt like Sutton was almost like jabbing with the way that she was responding.
Yeah,
that's not just being I don't feel like she was like trying to be insensitive. Like it felt like it was like, okay, well, what else is new, bitch?
Well, I don't think she was trying. I think she was. And I think that it was just strictly being selfish. And oh my God, Ricky, you're probably so fucking right. She probably was like, nope. This is my first scene. Oh God, you're right.
That like she's like, cause like, I mean, it is a little extra that Kyle, like, I know that like what happened to her friend was really traumatic, but like to be sitting there just looking at the window crying like that, like, come on, Kyle.
Oh my God. I know Kyle. Like I always,
cause it's like these, that's Kyle. How the, like these women in Beverly Hills do it though. Like they almost like Dorit's trauma is now like their storyline.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, because that's the thing. It's like they latch on to it. They, you know, certain season, you know, certain people, it's like, oh, if the Jen Shaw thing happened in Atlanta, those Atlanta women would eat your ass up, Jen Shaw. Yeah. You got lucky you were in Salt Lake City. Like, you know, so it's like the Roni ladies, they would have ate your ass up. You know, your Jersey, same thing. You're lucky you're in Beverly Hills. You're lucky you're in OC. You're lucky you're in, you know, Utah or whatever. It's like, cause those casts are more calm. So, but I'm excited. Is there something? So I think that Sutton and Crystal get close this season. And Garcelle,
which I'm already enjoying seeing that. Like,
yeah, but Garcelle, I think like, watch out for your new girl. So I'm curious to see what happens with Garcelle and Crystal.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just glad to see if they sort of reconcile. I think they got started off on the wrong foot and it was a little bit of a misconception. And I don't think that it helped that Sutton was already sort of on the outside with the other girls when Crystal joined as the friend of the people she did.
Yeah.
But what did you think about the Sutton and Lisa Rinna fight about the Elton John tickets?
I think I want to hear more about it before I take the side. If I have to pick a side right now, it's Rinna. She's been going for years.
Well, someone did actually pull up some tax documents, because I guess when you are like a whatever type of organization a charity is that a 501c3 or whatever? Is that what Lisa Vanderpump used to always say about Vanderpump Dogs? Mm-hmm. But someone pulled up like the tax shit that shows where all of the donations are recorded. And there's no record of Lisa Rinna or Harry Hamlin, but there is the record of Sutton paying for a table.
Well, no, that's what I was going to say. I do think that Lisa Rinna sat at Sutton's table and Sutton paid for it. She accepted the invitation from Sutton. There's no discrepancy in terms of that.
I don't think that Lisa even agrees with that much, though.
No, I think
she basically says that she was going and Sutton invited her to sit at her table.
No, that's what I'm saying. So that's where I think it's the exact language that people are using. So what I think transpired was Lisa was going, her and Harry were going, whether they were purchasing tickets for two seats at somebody's table. You never know. John Smith could be having a table and her and Harry were giving John Smith X amount of dollars towards their seats at their table, which might be something that they do in the past years. Now, they did say that while Harry and Lisa did frequent Elton John's gala, that there was a past couple of years before she got on Housewives or something where there was a lapse in like maybe 3 or 4 years where they didn't go. So
because the thing to me is like, it's like, well, okay, just because you've been going doesn't mean you've like donated.
Well,
you could always be someone's guest. And that's actually, so there was like a whole like breakdown of this, like with the whole like tax thing, and Michael Turchin started commenting and he was like, well, he's like, I've gone to these sort of events. He's like, so he's like, there are like three possibilities. Like she was Sutton's guest. She was just someone that was invited by the charity to help like drive sales and be someone to be seen at the charity, or she bought tickets.
Yeah.
Or she like donated the money. And it sounds like it's like one of the first two.
Well, long story short, I think that she's not denying that she was a guest of Sutton's. I think she's just saying, had I not been a guest of you, I would have still been there. So
I'm interested to see how the fight plays out, because they said that it's going to continue to come up.
Well, they did a poll on Watch What Happens Live. And when they asked Dorit and Kyle, they said they both 100% agreed with Rinna. So I'm curious.
Of course they do. It's the Fox Force 5.
Yeah, I know, but they did not even give like PC answers. Like, well, I could understand both of their, they didn't even do that. They're like, nope, 100% Rinna. So I just think, look, well, we only have one episode.
Literally because Fox Force 5.
Okay. So I'm not disagreeing with you, but I think that I cannot take a firm stance one way or the other, because we're only one episode in. So I think that there is going to be many more Real Housewives of Beverly Hills conversations to be had over the course of the season. So definitely stay tuned for that. But I feel like if there's not one particular thing I'm super interested in right now, I'm just like excited for the entire season overall. They gave me what I wanted to know about Dorit right off the get, so that doesn't consume my curiosity the entire season. So I'm kind of glad for the way they played that out. So I'm looking forward to the rest of the season.
I mean, most of my curiosity for the whole season is just revolving around Kathy.
Oh yeah. They didn't even show her at all.
Yeah. Cause I'm just wondering like what, well, I mean, don't forget there was all that contract negotiation stuff going on with Kathy. And they pretended like, oh, she's just been busy with Paris's wedding.
And she was shooting for that, because right when they showed on the first episode, they're like, oh, did you see Paris's invitations? And Mauricio's like, oh, I love the color, the Tiffany blue, which is if you watched Paris in Love.
That yeah, like you see the invitation.
She fucking sent out the invitations without her mom knowing and picked like this whole thing, and her mom was pissed and didn't like the blue and wanted it to be white. So I thought it was hilarious that Mauricio commented on like the one thing that Kathy was so pissed about.
Yeah, but I mean, there was a lot of chatter about that at the time, because they're like, Kathy wants X amount of money. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure I even posted something like, well, let's cut Rena and Erica and put those salaries into Kathy's and bring Kim back. And I would love to see all three of those sisters on the show at the same time.
Yeah, it was nice to see them on the screen together on Paris and Love. I liked it. So
yeah. So I don't know. That's the biggest question mark for me, is what all is going to go down with Kathy Hilton.
Yeah.
Literally like none of that. Well, I mean, we got just a little bit of a teaser of that, but we didn't get any teasers of Kathy even like starting to say something crazy or reacting to anything aside from the whole Kyle, which it's like knowing like that's Kyle's older sister, like, you know, it's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
She means business.
I know. I'm very much excited for this season. It's going to be a good one. I think this was a great mashup episode. We touched on everything. Thanks so much for being with us, everybody. Make sure that you're following Bravo Critics at Bravo Critics. You're following Ricky at That Bravo Gay and myself at Bravo and T on Instagram. Make sure you check out our most recent episode with Dorinda. We're going to have that up on YouTube for you. So stream the video or listen to the podcast wherever you get your podcast. And until then, cheers, Bravo Critics.
Cheers. Everyone's a critic.